Govinda, Govinda. Radhe Radhe There's no strap. Govinda Govinda Radhe. Why no one is at school? Holidays. School holidays, key? Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jan Balaba Girivaradari. Jaya Gopi Jan Balaba Girivaradari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tirtha Vanachari. Jamuna Tirtha Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hey Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balaba Girivaradari. Jaya Gopi Jana Balaba Girivaradari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tiravanachari. Jamuna Tiravanachari. Jaya Radha Matova Kunja Bihari. Hey Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayam Vishnupad, the Paramahamsa, Parikrajakacharya, Ashtottarasata Shishimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki, Anantakoti Vaishnava Brindaki, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Dago Premamambi, O glorious assembled devotees, O glorious assembled devotees, O glorious assembled devotees, O glorious to Sri Guru, and Sri Gauranga. Narayanam namaskritya naram cheva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, chapter entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. Text number 34. Evam abhyasyatas chittam. Kalenal piyasayate anisham tasya nirvanam yadya nindana vanivat evam abhya. Oh, sorry. Evam abhyasyatas chittam. Kalena piyasayate anisham tasya nirvanam yadya nindana vanivat evam abhyasyatas chittam kalena alpiyasayate anisham tasya nirvanam yadyanindana vanivat. Matajis. Evam. In this way. Abhyasyata. Of the person practicing this yoga system. Chittam. The heart. Kalena. In due course of time. Alpiyasa. Very shortly. Yate. Of the person practicing. Yoga. Anisham. Without cessation. Tasya. Of him. Nirvanam. Purification from all material contamination. Yati. Reaches. Anindana. Without flame or smoke. Vanivat. Like a fire. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When the yogi regularly practices in this way, in a short time his heart becomes fixed and free from disturbance, like a fire without flames or smoke. Translation responsibly. When the yogi regularly practices in this way, in a short time his heart becomes fixed and free from disturbance, like a fire without flames or smoke. Purport. Nirvana means the cessation of all material desires. Sometimes desirelessness is understood to imply an end to the workings of the mind, but this is not possible. The living entity has senses, and if the senses stopped working, the living entity would no longer be a living entity. He would be exactly like stone or wood. This is not possible. Because he is living, he is Nitya and Chaitanya, eternally sentient. For those who are not very advanced, the practice of yoga is recommended in order to stop the mind from being agitated by material desires. But if one fixes his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, his mind naturally becomes peaceful very soon. This peace is described in the Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Bhaktaram Jagitapasam Savaloka Maheshwaram Suridam Savabhutanam Gatwa Mam Shantim Richchahati. If one can understand Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor of everything, and the supreme friend of everyone, one is established in peace and is free from material agitation. However, for one who cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the practice of yoga is recommended. Omagyan Tamadandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swabhadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's chapter 15 of Canto 7. The chapter is entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. This is what we want to become, a civilized person. A civilized human being, as opposed to the uncivilized. Chapter 16 of Bhagavad Gita, what is chapter 16 called? Divine and demoniac nature. So Krishna says, this is God himself, when you create something, you prepare an instruction manual for the thing. Like if you have this microphone, there's an instruction manual that comes. Hands up if you read instruction manuals. Right, some people do, some people don't. One time I got a lamp, like a camping lamp. I didn't read the instruction manual. I opened it up, I broke it. And then I thought, I should read instruction manuals. Because if you don't read the instruction manual, then you might break the thing. So there is an instruction manual for this material world, written by Krishna. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, because you have to understand what the Bhagavad Gita is. What is the Bhagavad Gita? It is the song of God, right? And it is the essence of all Vedanta, right? If you take all of the Upanishads, all the Vedas, right? You take all of the instructions from the Vedanta, the Vedic literature, that is brought in, it is distilled in essence into the Bhagavad Gita. Now, that's what the Gita is. Now, the Gita is an amazing book, actually. It's an amazing compilation because Krishna has distilled all the essence of all the Upanishads, right? And he's put them within the Gita itself. So it's a extraordinary work, right? So within the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16, Krishna said, there are two types of living entities only in this material world. You fall into one of two categories. Either you are Sura or Asura, that's all. That's everyone, everyone in the material world. This planet, 8 billion people, you are Asura or Sura, that's all. Which one are you? Hands up if you're Sura. Okay, hands up if you're Asura. Hands up if you don't know what you are. Half the devotees didn't even put their hand up, so. Okay. So, Sura. You have to be one or the other. You have to be either Sura or Asura. In the Satya Yuga, do you remember the Satya Yuga? You were there. It was a long time ago, but you were there. In the Satya Yuga, the Sura and the Asura, they were on the different planets. They lived on different planets. So you see in Bhagavatam, sometimes the Suras, the Asuras, they will attack the Suras. They go in between planets and they attack. Because everyone's on different planet. That's Satya Yuga. Treta Yuga, they come on the earth, but then they're in different countries. Lanka and Bharat, Vash, in India and Sri Lanka. So all the Asuras, they live over in Sri Lanka, right? And then the Suras, they live over in India, and then they have to cross the ocean if they want to fight, right? And then in Dwapara Yuga, they come in the different families. So you have Kauravas and you have Pandavas. So then in different families, they're separated. And then in Kali Yuga, it's in the same body. Sometimes Sura, sometimes Asura. Because I said to devotees, hands up if you're Sura. Not everyone put their hand up. I said, hands up if you're Asura. You didn't put your hand up either. So that means, obviously, you're conflicted. You're trying to work out what you are. Because in Kali Yuga, we're in the same body. Sometimes you're Sura. On Monday, you're Sura. But on Tuesday, you're Asura. And on Wednesday, you don't know what you are. It changes like that. So both natures are there. So that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is not to destroy, physically destroy or kill the Asuras, but to destroy the demoniac nature, the Asuric tendencies. That's what that's what he did with Jagai and Madhai. That Lord Chaitanya was ready to kill them. He was going to kill Jagai and Madhai. But then Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is the most merciful incarnation, he said, no, please do not kill Jagai and Madhai, because if you kill them, then when do we stop? We might have to keep going further. We might have to kill more people. And, we don't want the Hare Krishna movement to, after breakfast we all go and get our machine guns and then we all go down the street and we go out to people. Are you Sura or Asura? Asura. Okay, are you sure? No, that's not our methodology. Our methodology is, Lord Chaitanya said, you spread the holy name of Krishna, Harinam Sankirtan, right? And then you go on the street, and that will destroy the demoniac nature, the Asuric tendency, that will gradually become cleansed from the heart. Prabhupada was doing Rath Yatra here in Melbourne. Prabhupada did Rath Yatra there in Melbourne. They were going down Swanston Street. You can see the video. You know, Prabhupada's on Swanston Street, dancing and chanting. And Madhaduisa Prabhu is leading the kirtan. And then Madhaduisa Prabhu, he looked up on one of the big buildings, and there was a window cleaner on the 16th floor up there, window cleaner. And they were looking down, they could see the devotees chanting, Rath Yatra going down the street, and they're up on the, clean the windows up high, and they were going with this. And then Madhaduisa Prabhu tapped Prabhupada and he said, look. And Prabhupada looked up and Prabhupada smiled. Because it was destroying the demoniac tendency. Those demoniac window cleaners became devotional window cleaners by contact with the... This is the system. So in Kali Yuga, we destroy the demoniac nature. So there's only two types of living entities. There is Asura and Sura, that's all, within this material world. So here, in this chapter, it is explained, this is instructions for civilized human beings, for the Suras, for the devotees. We want to become civilized. We've been uncivilized for so many lifetimes. We've practiced uncivilized behavior for so many lifetimes. And now, in this Kali Yuga, we have an uncivilized population doing uncivilized things. Right, just on a daily basis, it's uncivilized. If you eat meat, that's uncivilized. That's not Aryan culture. Right, that's not Suric culture. Right, that's not devotional mentality. The devotees do not eat meat. Just like the Pandavas, the Kshatriyas, they're given concession. The Kshatriya, because the Kshatriya is very powerful. Eating meat, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling, right? The Kshatriyas, they have a little bit of concession in each of those four areas, right? They can do a little bit in each of the areas. Concession, not like anything. Eating meat doesn't mean they can just eat any meat, but it means that if they're hunting and practicing their archery, and if they kill the deer or the tiger or something, they're allowed to take the flesh. They can eat it. So Prabhupada said, even though they're allowed to do that, but the Pandavas never took meat, only Bhimasen. You know, Bhimasen, okay, then he killed a tiger, and then maybe he ate some tiger flesh. Because it makes you stronger, more powerful. You eat the tiger after you've killed it, but you have to kill it first with your hands. And you go and do that, then we'll let you eat some meat. But you want it with your hands. Not with a gun from 50 feet away. No, you have to go up with your hands. Or just one knife. You and the tiger. And if you eat, then you can take something. But otherwise you cannot. So we have an uncivilized civilization. People are not civilized. They don't even know it. They think it's normal. We just eat sausages and we eat meat and we do it. And they think that's normal. Even one time... People are very mixed up in Kali Yuga. One time I was in Adelaide many years ago and I met one Hindu person, Indian gentleman, and he said to me, he said, I am Brahmana. You know, people say like this, I am Brahmana, I'm Kshatriya, I'm Vaishya. They never say I'm Sudra. I never say that, but oh, I am Brahmana. So he said, I am Brahmana. I said, are you vegetarian? He said, we eat meat. I said, what are you talking about? This is not Brahminical culture. He said, no, we are Rakshasa Brahmana. It means we're allowed to eat meat. We are Brahmana, but we eat meat. Kind of like Ravana, like that. Like Brahmana, but not. So this is Kali Yuga. People, they just make up any crazy thing. You can say anything. This is not civilized. Civilization means no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. That's a civilized culture. The Kshatriya can do a little bit. Like, okay, he eats a little bit of meat. Illicit sex. means he can have some sexual relationship with the maidservants even. Like the queen has many maidservants. But like Vidura, you see in Bhagavatam, Vidura was born from a maidservant. So this was there in the Kshatriyas. You know, some illicit sex was there. They had some sexual activity with the maidservants, but then they had to maintain the children. So there was some concession is given for the Kshatriya. Intoxication. The Kshatriyas can take a little bit of intoxication, sometimes on some festival or something. They will take something. But it's not like they just do it every day. They're taking everything. And gambling. Now, we know the famous, you know, they like to gamble. We know the famous pastime in Mahabharata with Draupadi. Right? So something is there. Kshatriya can have a little bit of something, but it is not like wholesale. It's not civilized. So civilized means you cannot do these things. So that's what this chapter is for, civilized people. Now, this chapter is speaking about what does it mean to be a civilized person. Civilized person means you're part of the Varna Ashram institution. That's what's being discussed here. You follow Varna and Ashram. What is your Varna? Hands up if you're Brahmana. Hands up if you're Kshatriya. Hands up if you're Vaishya. Hands up if you're Sudra. Hands up if you don't know what you are. That's probably better, yeah, because no one put their hand up. I got a few Sudras, but I didn't get anything else. Because in Kali Yuga, Varna is not so significant. Actually, you don't hear Prabhupada speaking a lot about it in terms of saying, you know, this devotee was a Brahmana, this one was a Kshatriya, this is a Vaishya. Prabhupada did not emphasize that so much. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his emphasis is creating Vaishnavas, creating devotees, bhaktas. Right? We have to become a devotee. Our Varna is there. You can see it within us. Right? The devotee might be more Brahminical or more Kshatriya or more Vaishya. You can see it. It's there, Shudra. But it's not the main thing in Kali Yuga. We don't emphasize it so much because it's not really there. The system is not there like it was previously. Ashram is more significant in Kali Yuga. It's still there. Right? Hands up if you're Brahmachari. Hands up if you are Grihastha. Hands up if you are Vanaprastha. Hands up if you are Sannyasi. And so at least in Kali Yuga, we should know what we are. Right? In Kali Yuga, everyone is a Grihastha. Everyone is a Grihastha. Unless you are a Brahmachari. And sometimes, because I saw some devotees, I didn't know what they were and they weren't putting their hand up. Right? You're actually a Grihastha. Because if you're not a Brahmachari, and you're not a sannyasi, and you're not, then you are a grihastha. Understand that point. That's what you are. Everyone is, right? But then some they can they have the strength, the determination to break from the mold. Then they become brahmachari. They practice it, but you have to practice it properly. You can't be mityachar. And then vanaprastha and sannyas, they're also there. We see it, right? The four ashrams are more there in Kali Yuga. So this is what this chapter is speaking about. It is a civilized, it is for instructions for civilized human beings. Civilized means you're following the ashram system. Because what is the point of the ashram system? Why do we follow it? Why do we follow Varna Ashram? Why do we follow through the different ashrams? The point is so that you become regulate. That's the beginning. But the point is you become detached. You develop renunciation. That's the point of the ashrams, to become renounced. Right? And you'll see if you keep going through the chapter, the next few verses begin to describe instructions for sannyasis. Because that's what we're all aiming for, sannyas. Sannyas means detachment, complete detachment from this world. Your mind, your body, and your words are dedicated to the service of what? Krishna. Shri Krishna Chandra Bhagavan ki. Jai ho, Shri Krishna. Our mind, our body, and our words are meant to be used in the service of Krishna. Right? That is the purpose of Varna Ashram system. Right? We're going through. We practice brahmacharya. Why? Because we're becoming detached so that we can focus the mind, the body, the words. We go through grihastha life. Why do we go through grihastha life? Right? Same thing. My Guru Maharaj said one time, he said, if you are a grihastha for like 25 years or, whatever, traditionally that's what you would be. If you get to the end of your grihastha life, your kids are grown up and you've done all your duties and you're not detached from this world, you did something wrong. You should be detached. Grihastha should be feeling this. I'm just waiting for the time when I can serve Krishna. I can dedicate my mind, my body, my words for the service of Krishna. That's what Grihastha Ashram is for. Grihastha Ashram is like a elastic band. You have elastic band? You know what it is, what I'm talking about? Rubber band? What do you call it in India? Rubber band. Okay. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about, rubber band. So Grihastha life is like that, rubber band, elastic band. You know when you pull it back, and it's stretching? That's what Grihastha life feels like. Is it accurate? You feel like sometimes just being stretched? Like you want to serve Krishna, but it's like so many responsibilities, and you just feel like, And then one day, you let go. You get the rubber band, you go, and shoot, like that. One day, let go, and then you can just go and serve Krishna. That is Grihastha life. You should be feeling like this, right? A lot of responsibilities. So many kids. Once you have kids, deha pacha kalatra dishu, says in Bhagavatam, deha, you're attached to this body. So then from body, kalatra, then you get a wife. Apacha means then you have children, offspring. Offspring begin to come out. Then you need paraphernalia, adishu, so many things. To maintain. And that's what Grihastha life is like. building up. One kid, two kids, three kids, four kids, five kids, six kids, 10 kids. Some people have 10 kids. Right? Apacha. All of this offspring. Then you need so much paraphernalia to maintain. One bedroom house, two bedroom house, three bedroom house, four bedroom house. And then you need a helicopter pad on the roof. And then you need jacuzzi. And then you need, the paraphernalia just expands. That's Grihastha life. So that is the name. But you should be becoming, as time goes by, you should become detached. You don't want to be like Ajamil. Ajamil was 88 years old. And how old was his kid? Narayan, that kid he had? 5 years old, was it? So it means 5 years. It means that he had his last kid when he was 83. If you're still having children at 83, you didn't read the instruction manual properly. Right? It means you didn't understand what Grihastha life is about. You need to become detached. That's why ideally we have kids when we're young, when you've got energy. And then by the time you get 50, you should be starting to wind down. Right? 50 means vana prastha. Vana means the forest, right? If you go to the forest, it means simplicity. You can't take all your paraphernalia, right? You have to reduce. That's what vanaprastha life means. What is the regulative principle, the religious principle of the vanaprastha ashram? It is tapasya, tapa. You're meant to become tapa. And that's how you become purified. Brahmachari becomes purified by? Yes, vijja. Vidya, learning. Right? That's why you wear saffron. That's why you don't associate with the opposite sex, and that's why you live simply, so you can learn. I was brahmachari for 8 years. I'm still carried by those 8 years. And that was a long time ago now. Now I'm 84. That was a long time ago. I'm vegetarian, so I look young. But a long time ago, right? I was brahmachari, but still carried by that momentum. Because what did I do? I use that time, that simplicity, to study. Vidya, cultivate knowledge. I used to listen to lectures when I was brahmachari between 2 hours, 4 hours every day. Right? And then read Prabhupada's books and everything like that. Because he had time. You're going to make time. Then Grihastha. Grihastha becomes purified by? Yeah, dana. No, dana. You have to give. If you're Grihastha, you don't give dana, you won't become purified. You have to give your money. Sweeter than honey. Everyone's attached to money. That's Grihastha life. Right? Women and money attached to the opposite sex. That's Grihastha life. Very strong. That's why you have to give, because then you'll break your attachment. Grihastha life means you have to give dana. Right? You give it. When it hurts, then you know you're giving enough. You earn $1,000 a week, you give $10, you don't feel anything. You earn $1,000 a week, you give $100, you feel something. Right? So that's when you start, you know you're giving enough, when you feel it. Ooh, that was quite a lot that I gave to Krishna. That's good, that means you're feeling it, that means you'll become purified. And then you'll develop a taste, you want to give more and more. And then vanaprastha, it means when you get to 50, you're meant to be simplifying. Vana means we're not going to live in the forest. That's a previous age, but it means simplify your existence. That is vanaprastha life when you get older. And the religious principle is tapa. Tapa means austerity. You have to become austere. You know, give up your material attachments and desires. Not like Ajamil, right? He was still doing material things. Right? And then sannyas. This is what this chapter is teaching us. We're aiming for sannyas. What is the religious principle for sannyas? Yeah, satyam. Satyam means param satyam dimihi. The sannyasi preaches or speaks the absolute truth. One sannyasi, I was in a lecture many years ago, he said, when a sannyasi or a advanced brahmachari speaks, the words are like fire. They burn up your material attachments. That's when a sannyasi speaks, or an advanced brahmachari, or even advanced grihastha. When they speak, it will burn your material attachments like fire. Param satyam dimihi. They will speak the absolute truth. You absorb yourself. That's what we're aiming for. We may not all take sannyas, right? We may not get a danda, right? The Matajis, you won't get a danda, right? And many of the Prabhus, you won't physically take the danda, but you have to become sannyas in consciousness, right? Your words, your thoughts, your deeds have to be used in Krishna's service. That's what this chapter is talking about. That is civilized human beings, right? We're aiming for renunciation. You should become detached. You have to feel it, right? Hands up, you've been practicing Krishna consciousness more than 10 years. Hands up, more than 10 years practicing. Hands up, more than 20 years. More than 20 years. Hands up, more than 30 years. More than 30 years. Hands up, more than 40 years. More than 40 years. Right? But you should be feeling after 10 years, after 20 years, after 30 years, after 40, you should be feeling detachment. You should be feeling becoming less attached to this world. Right? That means you're following the system properly. That's the Varnashram system. Right? So as devotees, we need to be feeling like that. Right? Otherwise, you take birth again in this material world. You have to come back in this material world. Manage crossways once again. This is this material world. It's not bad for us because we're devotees. So even if you take birth again, you'll serve Krishna again. So for us, it's okay. But for the non-devotees, it's very dangerous. Mahabhaya, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, it is the most fearful thing. You have to come back again in this material world. So actually, you don't have to come back. Prabhupada said if you chant 16 rounds minimum, hey, that means attentive rounds. Doesn't mean falling asleep while you're chanting your japa. No, it doesn't mean that. It means 16 minimum attentive rounds, and you follow four regular principles. That's a very high standard in Kali Yuga, actually. If you can do that, Prabhupada said, you will go back to Godhead in this lifetime. Yeah. So we have to follow. If we follow strictly this principle, put your mind, your thoughts, your words, your deeds in Krishna's service, you will go back. So this verse is saying, because this verse is spoken long time ago, so talking about yogis, we're all yogis as well, we're bhakti yogis. We are yogis, but different type of yogi. This verse is here, they're speaking that when you're practicing yoga In this way, in a short time, the heart becomes fixed and free from disturbance, like a fire without flame or smoke. So our consciousness should become free from material disturbance, right? But we don't practice the Ashtanga system. Not formally, you know, we don't sit in practice yoga. It's not like we do. We practice Sankirtan. Harinam, Sankirtan. That's our system, which is spoken of in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Harinam Anukirtanam. This is the process. So we follow the practice of Sankirtan. But Lord Chaitanya says, by following that process, what is the first benediction? In Shikshastika, Lord Chaitanya says, in the first verse, famous verse, Chaitadabha, there are seven benedictions which are given when you chant the holy name of Krishna. And what is the first benediction? Your chitta, which is being spoken of in this verse, your chitta becomes cleansed. Cheto, darpana, marjanam. Marjanam means cleaning. Everything should be clean. Like after breakfast, Krishna's just finished breakfast, devotees will do cleaning. Marjana. Mandira, marjana. They were clean. Why? Because the temple has to be clean. And our heart, your heart becomes clean by keeping the temple clean. I know this. You know, I've experienced it many times. When I clean things, I feel more clean within myself. That's why your home should be clean, spotless, Grihastha life. You know, sometimes you go to Grihastha's house, it's not very clean. It's not good. Prabhupada said the Grihastha should be emblems of purity, emblems of cleanliness. I walk into your bathroom, it should be clean. This ideal Grihastha life. So we have to cleanse the heart, the chitta, the consciousness. That's what's being spoken of here. So what is our process? Param vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. That's our process. Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. That's our process. Param vijayate. What does jai mean? Jai. Victory. We always say to each other, jai means victory. What does vijay mean? Great victory. Vijay. Great victory. What does param vijay mean? Supreme victory. It just means the whole universe just got conquered. Only one person can conquer the whole universe. That's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He can conquer everything. Krishna, they can conquer everything. That's the process, the power of bhakti, of the Sankirtan process. It will cleanse everything from your consciousness. You can go back to Godhead in this lifetime. Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, expected all of us to go back to Godhead in this lifetime. Right? You have to practice your bhakti like that, that you're aiming to go back this lifetime, not next lifetime. We haven't got time. Now do it in this lifetime. Be serious in your Krishna consciousness. So that is the process. That's what's being spoken of here. How do we do this? If you go back a little bit early in the chapter, it says you have to get into the mode of goodness. That's the process. It's very important to understand. Right? If you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, practice devotional service, you have to do it from the platform of the mode of goodness. Mode of passion, it's hard to advance in Krishna consciousness. Why? Why is it hard to advance? If you're just passionate all the time. Why? Because you'll wear yourself out and you won't be able to maintain it. We can be passionate for some time, right? But after some time, you'll just go. Passion will go into ignorance. Why can't you go back to Godhead from the mode of ignorance? Yeah, also because you won't get up in the morning. You're in the mode of ignorance. Love that. So how do you go back to Godhead? You can't. Mode of ignorance doesn't work. Mode of passion helps, but mode of goodness means sustained bhakti. It means you're doing it all the time, all the time. Our process is nityam bhagavata sevaya. That's our process, nityam. Nityam bhagavata sevaya. Nityam means regularly. Bhagavatam was spoken by Shukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit in how many days? Why not eight? Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's one answer. Yeah, it's true. But why not eight? Why not six? Because there's how many days are there in a week? Hare Baba. That's why it was 7 days. 7 days the Bhagavatam was spoken. Because you're meant to listen to it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and... Yeah, because it doesn't mean you have a day off. If you're not hearing and chanting every day, you're not going to become purified. Every day you have to hear and chant. I live away from the temple, so I can't be in Bhagavatam class every day, but every day I listen. Right? I always listen. At the moment I listen to Indudumna Swami. Now, he gives very nice lectures. His lectures are superb. So I listen to Maharaj, or different devotees, Amarendra Prabhu and different devotees. Yeah. So many devotees to listen to now in ISKCON. So many. You can listen to them live. Someone can be sitting in Utah, in Salt Lake City, in America, and you can be listening live. That's the power of the internet. That's the good part of the internet. What's the bad part of the internet? I'm not going to go into it because that's a whole other class. But the good part is you can just listen to anyone. But the point is you have to listen every day. If you don't listen every day, you won't become purified. Nityam Bhagavata Seva. Yeah, that's our process. But if you do that, you will become purified. You will get into the mode of goodness. And then from the mode of goodness, you can transform, or it's a springboard to the pure goodness, to Shuddha Sattva, to going back home, back to Godhead. Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagwan ki. Sri Krishna Sankirtan ki. Any questions or comments? Yes. Do we have Bhakta Mike? Transcendental microphone key. Hari Om.
Hari Krishna Prabhuji, before you said that, when we're when we're like you say, listen to classes like every day, like you listen to classes.
Yeah.
And if you don't understand, if you don't understand the meaning and you like misunderstand it, because I heard in one of Amogya Prabhu's lectures that over here, like when the speaker says something funny, over here they're having a laugh, but like on the internet they might also get offended or something. So like, how do we understand what the speaker's trying to say if they said in complicated like words, and like how do we understand the meaning of what they're trying to say? What they're trying to say, like, so we can understand the meaning and get the real message that they're trying to deliver.
Yeah, I understand that part, but we understand the meaning, but if what would happen that we wouldn't understand the meaning?
So, like, if we misunderstand it and we might think it's something else, some, like, might take it as an offense or something, like...
If what?
Yeah.
If they say it in a complicated way. Oh, so if the speaker speaks very complicated and we can't understand it, then
how do
we might
keep like good attitude against the speaker.
Then maybe listen to someone else if you can't understand what they're saying. Did you understand my class today?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Oh, that's good. Okay. No, but that's good. Because when I give class, I always try to speak in a way that everyone understands. You've got to look at everyone. Sometimes people give class and they close their eyes. Like, it's okay, you can close your eyes, but then the audience might all be asleep. Then you open your eyes and say, oh my God, they're all asleep. No, you have to look at everyone. And you have to, sometimes I ask, I say, did you understand what I said? So you have to make sure. So if you're listening to a speaker and maybe you can't understand it, then maybe listen to someone else. Like some speakers, they're very scholarly or very erudite or very... they speak in a very, they speak in a very philosophical way or something. So if that's too difficult for you to understand, it doesn't mean they're not making sense. It just means they speak in a way that maybe you can't understand. Then you can listen to someone else.
And for the Varnashram thing, I've got a question about the Varnashram. Like from Grihastha, when we like get detached and go to Varnashram, then how do we like... how do we like take sannyas from straight away? Because like in the olden days, they used to go to the forest, right? And they would have no gurus because most of them would be in the forest. So then, how would we like take the path of sannyas?
There's two ways to take sannyas because there's four ashrams. So one way is you go straight from brahmachari straight to a sannyas, right? That's one way. That's how the brahmanas generally do it, right? They just go straight because, you know, they don't want to waste their time. Why do I want to spend 25 years? I get married. I'm going to have so many kids. Then I have to get a job, right? And then I have to drop my kids to school, right? And then I have to go to soccer on the weekend. And it's like, oh, so many things. I'd rather just go straight to sannyas. There's many do like that. Or you go through 25 years of grihastha life, and you take your kids to soccer, and then they grow up and they get married, and then you become more detached, and you become like vanaprastha with your wife. Vanaprastha means the wife and the husband are still together, but they're more renounced. And then maybe you don't have to take sannyas, but maybe sometimes the husband and wife might say, maybe we should just go completely renounced. That's favorable, anukul, for our bhakti. So then sometimes the husband will go off and he'll formally become a sannyasi. So that's the system. Does that answer your question? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
But from the vanaprastha, like when they come to sannyas, then how are they meant to like inspire the people? Like how does the sannyasi do preaching like to inspire the people?
Well, we have sannyasis in ISKCON. How do they inspire everyone?
Classes.
Yeah, they come to the temple. You know, they travel around. They come to the temple. They sit. They give class, right? And then they speak, and we all, oh wow! Did you hear what Maharaj said? I feel so inspired. And then you associate with them. You go and serve them. You go on Harinam Sankirtan with them. You do like that. So, is that okay?
Thank you, Prabhupada.
Thank you for coming.
Hare Krishna. This is an online question. How about if your service itself seems like to be passionate? As when I'm at Crossways, I'm generally in a passion to get service done in a timely manner. How can I bring goodness as Arjuna was in pure goodness at the battlefield?
Very good. I didn't know we had online questions. This is good. Okay. So what it means is that, for example, you go to Crossways and you're passionate. When Lord Brahma created the universe, he does it, he's the guna avatar for the mode of passion. If you're going to create something, you have to get passionate. Like sometimes at our farm, like, you know, if we all just sit around, like, you know, and we look at each other in the mode of goodness, like, oh, it'd be so nice. No, you just have to get passionate. Come on, let's do it. Let's build something. Let's, you know, it's, you have to get passionate. It's the same thing. If you want to run Crossways, you have to get passionate. A lot of work. I've got to make sure all the prasadam's there on time. You get there, then you've got to quickly set everything up. And then so many people, we've got like 400 people coming in. We're breaking records now, right? People are coming in. And then you've got to make sure everything's, you know, dishes are getting washed. Is everything ready? And then you have to pack everything up and go home. And then, you know, and so, so it says that mode of passion is a tool which we use in Krishna service. So like when you have a toolbox, you pick up the hammer, use the hammer, and then you put it down. You don't just walk around all day just hitting things with the hammer. Yeah? Someone not listening to class. Hey. Hey, listen to the class. Hey. Or, you know, you don't just walk around. You go to a shop, right? And you say, I want to buy something. And they said, oh, it costs this much. You say, no, I want discount. Like that. You know, you put the hammer down. You don't use it all day. So the mode of passion is like that. We use it. But then as soon as we're finished using it, you put it down. So, okay, you might have to use it in your service, but in the morning time you're peaceful, you're chanting the holy name. Right? You live more in the mode of goodness. So sometimes we use passion, it's okay. But don't let passion control your life. Just use it in Krishna service and then put it down. Does that make sense? Okay, hopefully that devotee was... Nice question. First and then... No, you go first. Go.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, you said Gruhastha should be detached at age of 50.
Yes.
Why it is only at the age of 50? Why can't it be?
It's not only at the age of 50. We never said that. It's only at the age of 50. But if you get to 50 and you're not detached, it means you did something wrong. You should be detached when you're 25.
So what exactly means detach?
Means you don't have material desires. Everything is used in Krishna's service. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had many kids, right? But he said, my children, my wife, my home, everything is in the service of Gopinath, in the service of Krishna. So you should feel like that. That's detachment.
That is detachment. Okay.
That's detachment. That's Yukta Vairagya. Krishna Sambandha?
Yukta Vairagya.
Huh? So it means everything in the service of Krishna. TK? Okay. Please come again.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for the nice class. Prabhu, we know that whatever is in the material world is a reflection of what is in the spiritual world. So are there also varnas and ashramas in the spiritual world?
Yeah, it's a good question. Yes, varnashram is in the spiritual world. It is there. Krishna's father, Nanda Maharaj, he is a Vaishya. Yeah. And Krishna, technically, he's a Vaishya in Goloka, in Vrindavan. And then it says in the morning, when everyone wakes up, Brahmanas are chanting Vedic hymns. So when you go back to Godhead in the spiritual world, you'll wake up in the morning, you hear Brahmanas saying, Om, na 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 na. Not like that, but they make noise. No? So you will hear it. No? So Brahmanas are there. Kshatriyas, they're there. There's, you know, in Vrindavan they talk about Kamsa. Kamsa's a Kshatriya. They say, oh, Maharaj Kamsa will come and he will get you. You know, they talk about him. So yeah, it is there. Varnashram is there. But it's pure spiritual Varnashram.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for the wonderful class. Prabhuji, you had mentioned that by doing Harinam and preaching to others, our demoniac nature which is inside us, it goes away. But I've seen that when I go out to distribute books with my mom or I go out to do Harinam with my friends, sometimes that demonic nature is still inside me.
Sometimes what?
The demonic nature is still there. So like,
still,
it doesn't
still
go.
Still where?
Inside me.
In you?
Yeah.
Really? You have demonic nature in you?
Yes,
ma'am. Oh, Krishna. Oh, don't come near me. I didn't know. No, that's okay. All of us have demoniac nature. All of us have it. It's not just you. You think you're the only one here? No.
No.
All of them. All of them have it. Right? It's in all of us. That's okay. You've been in the material world for many lifetimes. Bahu jammakariyari shravan. Many lifetimes we've been here in this material. So we have material desires. But the important thing is that every year you have to see the material desires becoming less. That's all. Just becoming less.
Yes.
You're just a kid. You don't have to worry about these things. You don't have to like, you're distributing and think, oh my God, I've got demoniac spirit. I distributed the book, but I didn't do it purely. You don't have to worry about it. Just go and distribute the books. You become pure. It takes time, that's all.
Okay.
You're a good devotee.
Thank you, Guruji.
Okay. Any other question? This side. Where is your microphone? Where is your microphone? Transcendent the microphone key? No, here, here.
Yes, Prabhu, so I had like a question. When I read a book of Gaur Gopal Prabhu, like what do you do when you're angry? So then he said you have to be vulnerable. So, but then after that I've heard in a lot of lectures, like after you're vulnerable, you should have like, what is it? Yeah, when you're vulnerable, you should chant, and then when you're angry, you should chant. I don't have the mood to do that. I get really angry. Just sit down, and then I don't talk to my sister when we have a fight. So, like how should I just like get the anger out?
How to get the anger out?
Yes.
It takes practice. It takes time. Right? We all have anger. Hands up if you have anger inside you. Everyone like that. We all have it. It's okay. You have to learn to control it. Remember I said before about mode of passion? You have to use it in Krishna's service and then you put it down. So you have to learn to control anger. You use it. Some anger is good. Now, Prabhupada says anger is good. But it's good when you need to use it for Krishna's service. You bring it out of the box and then you put it back in. So you have to learn how to do that. It takes practice. It takes time. So just keep practicing. If you see yourself becoming angry, right, then learn to control it. Learn to become humble. Learn to become vulnerable. Learn these things over time so that you can learn to control it. That's all. Is that okay?
Yes.
Anything else you want to ask? That's it. Okay. Any other question? Transcendental microphone key. Jay. Yes, sir.
Sometimes you get detached and then sometimes again you get into the materialistic world. Because, you know, you see your kids and again you have to, you know, spend time with them and think about their dreams. Then get back to, again back to spirituality and all that. How to counter this? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you just said you have to spend time with your kids and worry about their materialistic dreams. So why don't you teach your kids to have Krishna conscious dreams? That's your responsibility. So it's like you say, oh, I'm doing one and then I have to go back to the other. No, you teach them, because you're the parent, you're the guru, you teach them how to also have Krishna conscious dreams. Like these kids here, you see all the kids here? They have Krishna conscious dreams.
Sometimes the kids are a bit old and then, you know, it's not easy as such.
Yeah. So then just spend time with them, just be friendly with them, just be happy, and then go back to your teacher and just encourage them. That's all. Good luck.
Okay.
Good luck. Any other question? Srila Prabhupada ki?
Jai.
Kesha Prabhupada ki?
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Hare Krishna,